Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, welcome back, dear Blood River Radio family. I just can't tell you how excited I am tonight. I'm tempted to read this letter again. Maybe I'm a glory hound, but I guess I won't. I read the letter and the text messages we got from our brothers and our supporters in the first hour. But I'm just going to read this right here again one more time. I'll read the bottom part. It says that Miss Monica is a white person's treasure. And that is also true. Miss Valerie is a wonderful historian, but gosh, I'm wanting to read that letter so bad. But people, here's what we got. We've got Miss Monica Schaefer, my little baby sister. She's going to be running this interview. We have a new guest coming on. Her name is Miss Kathleen Dudley. I believe Monica said that she lives in New Mexico. We're getting her up in just a minute. And I had down here written where she was going, what she was going to talk about, but going off the top of my head, she's going to talk about the corruption of the court, and I believe she's kind of pretty much of an authority on laws of land laws, you know, land forfeiture, stuff like that. I'm not sure, but Miss Monica's going to handle all that. And Miss Monica, while Cameron is trying to get her back up, if you have time, why don't you tell us a little bit about what we're going to do tonight?
Yes, thanks, Eddie. Can you hear me? I'm up, am I?
I hear you fine.
Okay, great. I'll just give a little bit of a background about Kathleen Dudley, who is getting connected now as we speak. And it's a perfect segue from the first hour that you had with Sam Dixon and talking about the corrupt courts, because that's what Kathleen's story is going to be about. But just how we met each other, how she actually looked me up first, because she has started to discover that, you know, the truth about some of the history that we've been taught, and in particular, my favorite subject, you know, the World War II taboo subject, the Holocaust. And so she had interviewed me on her show. She has her own podcast or interview. You know, she has interviewed many very fine people. And so I had the honor to be interviewed by her on her show to talk about, you know, true history. So that's how we first met. And as it turns out now, Kathleen has her own things that she's going through in this court system of ours, which, oh my goodness, she has been discovering that it's just so completely corrupt. And so she has been on a very, very steep learning curve as she has been representing herself in the court system. And I hope she's on now. I don't know, because I could hand it over to her, because what she can tell us a little bit of. Okay.
Well, Miss Monica, while Cameron's working on getting her, yeah, I'd like to say something to you.
Sure.
You mentioned your favorite subject, you know, it's about Germany. I'd like the audience to know that on February the 12th, we have Tom Goodrich, the very well-known author, and we have Tom Goodrich coming on. He's going to be talking about his great work, Hellstorm, about the firebombing of Dresden, Germany. It went from, I think, from February the 13th to February the 15th, 1945. We'll also have Tom English coming on. Tom English narrated the audio version of Hellstorm. So we're getting ready to go live, Miss Monica Schaefer. But before we do that, we have another surprise, Monica. We have a fellow calling in, Peter Scoop Stanton. He has a show that comes on. He's going to be on in just a few minutes. He has a show that comes on from right after the Political South Pool at 9 o'clock on the same network. He's going to give us a quick report on how two police officers in New York City were gunned down, I think, today or yesterday. Scoop, are you there, my brother?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Eddie.
All right, you have your own. We have Miss Monica Schaefer listening, and we also have Miss Kathleen Dudley. So tell us about the police. Tell us about what we talked about today, Scoop. Oh, and also talk about your show.
Right. Well, last night in Harlem, in the Manhattan section of New York City, Three cops enrolled up to a domestic disturbance call, which is one of the most dangerous calls a police officer can go to. They go to the house and or go to the apartment, and the mother says, "Oh, the son's in the back. He's the one troublemaker." Two of the officers went to the back, and this piece of garbage had an unlicensed firearm, a Glock 45, and with a drum of 45 rounds of ammunition, and he gunned down one of the officers. Actually, two cops were shot. One of the officers, his name is Jason Rivera. He did not make it last night. His partner, he's hanging by a string at Harlem Hospital. The third officer was able to return fire and gun down this piece of garbage. So anyways, of course, everybody's trying to go after the gun industry. Nobody's saying what the real problem is, who did it, this and their thing. Anyways, tonight on my show, 7-5 Radio, starts at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. I'm going to have myself, Walter Yerkew. Both of us are former members of the NYPD. We're also having Sean Bergen on, the New York correspondent for Libby News Radio. He's been on every show there is, except I think yours, Eddie. And also, we're having the next governor of New York, Andrew Giuliani, come on to talk about what he thinks needs to be done for the state of New York. I'm sick and tired of these politicians just letting these criminals just run amok. It's not working. You have in upstate New York, a gentleman stole a fire truck outside the firehouse. He was arrested three times that day. He stole the fire truck, Eddie. I mean, it's like Bob Grant used to say, it's sick and getting sicker, and we can't take it anymore, folks.
You know, I just wonder if there's going to be an outpouring of sympathy for these police officers that were gunned down just like savage animals, you know. I just wonder if the people will be out there chanting, "Oh, good riddance, you know, we hate these pigs." It's just a scoop. Give the people one more time how they can listen to your show.
Okay, the name of the show is 7-5 Radio. We took a license from the movie The 7-5. Mr. Yerk, you did work in the infamous 7-5 precincts. We are on Libby News Radio Network and all its affiliates at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Mountain, and 7% Left Coast time. Our website is 75radio.org, 75radio.org. Our main premise is to talk about the problems in the law enforcement community, good, bad, and different. Now, when cops do great, we mention it. When cops do not so great, we also mention it because there are some bad cops out there. I mean, Walter Yerkew, a perfect example. He did things he shouldn't have been doing. But it's not just major crimes as a police officer. It's trampling on constitutional rights, abusing your authority, thinking you have more power than you actually do. I mean, harassing normal people. I mean, in the same city where you had two cops gunned down, you had cops escorting a 9-year-old girl out of a museum because she didn't have her vaccination card. Meanwhile, you have people getting shoved in front of moving subway trains. You have people getting shot. You have people getting stabbed. Businesses are getting robbed, and people doing things in the street that they should be doing in private. And New York's finest is going after people who don't have a mask or don't have their vaccine card. It's the oldest as the Soviet Union. Papers, please.
Scoop, I think that's pretty much nationwide and pretty much European-wide now. Well, Scoop, thank you so much, brother. Yeah, I tell you what, all the time you've been on our show, you were spot on. You were right, boots on the ground, so to speak. Scoop is, like you said, he's been on the NYPD before. He's currently residing in Washington, D.C. He's our correspondent for all things coming out of D.C. Thank you so much, Scoop, for bringing us that update. And if you will, get back with us. Let us know how the police are, if they recuperate okay, if any other one would have died. And thank you once again,
okay.
Scoop. You call in anytime you want
thank
to, brother.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thank
God
you,
God bless
brother.
You, everyone. Bye.
God bless you. Well, Miss Monica, that was a quick on Scoop. Wanted to call in and give us that update. These police officers are very dear to his heart. Like he said, he was a Navy veteran, a police veteran of New York City. So, Miss Monica, go ahead. Do we have Miss Kathleen Dudley up yet?
Yes, I have heard that she's there. Good.
Oh,
you know,
great,
we hardly have any time before the first break here, so we probably aren't going to get to much of the story before the commercial break. But just a comment about that New York shooting, and I heard about it in the mainstream news, but I took a guess at what is, you know, perhaps the color of the skin of the so because they, if it was a white guy who shot these cops, we would have heard about it, wouldn't we have? We would have heard that it was a white guy, right? So anyway, that so that's the story. But I did give a little bit of an introduction already about Kathleen before, when she was still getting connected, and it, nothing like a little bit of excitement when you're just getting on a show for the first time, Kathleen. But yeah, do you want to just say hello, and then after the break we can get right into the meat of the story?
Well, welcome hello, to Kathleen. The show, Miss Kathleen. Welcome. So we're glad to hear you. We don't normally have on the spot call in newscast like that. It was pretty hot. Scoop's a buddy of ours. We've known him for about 15 years. But welcome to the show, Miss Kathleen. So glad to have you. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, thank you very much, both Eddie and Monica. It's a real pleasure to be able to be on your program. I am a grassroots woman who finds herself standing in her sovereignty. I happen to be in New Mexico at this time, but I am Canadian born and born and raised in the same province as Monica, Alberta, and find that connection to be quite heartwarming.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm so glad you got that in before the break. Like Monica said, we will be going to the break any second. And when we come back from the break, all I'm going to be doing is bringing you and Miss Monica in and out of the breaks. Miss Monica is going to be totally running the interview. And she, no one is better equipped to do it than Miss Monica. So, dear Blood River Radio audiences, please don't go anywhere. We're going to bring you this dynamite interview as soon as we come back between Miss Monica Schaefer and Miss Kathleen Dudley. Be right back.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Hello, dear Blood River Radio family. I'm not going to waste any more time me talking. We've got Miss Monica Schaefer. She's interviewing this great lady, Miss Kathleen Dudley, a grassroots organizer and patriot. Her name is Miss Kathleen Dudley, like I said again. So take it away, Miss Monica.
Okay. Thanks so much for this chance, Eddie, to bring Kathleen on and tell her story. Because I think that in the first hour, a lot of was touched upon with the corrupt court systems and the corrupt justice system. And, you know, these things come alive through actual stories. So I'm going to hand it right over to you, Kathleen. Why don't you give us a little bit of a synopsis of what's been going on? And in that context, you can talk a little bit about natural law or man-made law, that kind of thing. Okay, over to you.
Well, thank you very much, Monica. It's nothing quite like being thrown into the middle of the fire, I don't think, and that's quite literally what happened to me. I've been living on my land in a rural part of New Mexico, and as we know in the court system, you don't want to enter into the court system because it's admiralty law, it's contract law, and our own rights as sovereign men and sovereign women under natural law, God's law, common law, we must fight very hard to set that jurisdiction because it is trampled upon with intention, because this so-called legal system of contract law has made its way in and is essentially smothering our own birthrights, our own rights as sovereign men and women. So what happened for me in a nutshell is a landowner decided that they wanted to extend their rights through a roadway that crossed my property. I had given them permission to use my road, and I put in a different road so that they could bypass my own house. And everyone in the community was using this alternative route. I put a locked gate on the other road, and as soon as I put a locked gate on it, they sued me, claiming that I had stopped them from accessing their mountain property. All along, they had uninterrupted access through a lower road, which was just a few hundred yards different. I had a bar attorney at that time. We basically ended up going into mediation, and he threw me into court. And at that point, I decided that that was not going to be successful for me. I fired my bar attorney and represented myself from that moment onward, sui juris. And that's very important, because sui juris is where you stand in your sovereignty. There is no authority over you, but the court system wants you to be in pro se, because that is a part of their so-called legal system, which makes you chattel. It puts you under their authority. So at the same time, there was another person who was coming through my property, and he was harassing me and had been for a number of years. I was so fed up with the harassment and understanding that if I don't stand up for myself, no one will. And if I allow these bullies to continue, the bullies just continue and they keep stealing from you your rights, your peace of mind, your own privacy. So I put in a request for a civil restraining order, only to find out, as I was doing some research, that the very judge who sat on that case had represented him as his attorney. But he didn't reveal that to me, to anyone in the court. And it turns out that that prior felon, who was actually in prison for 14 years in both Colorado and New Mexico, had a very serious, very violent history. He violated the civil restraining order that the judge had put against him twice and took no action. The chief judge of this fourth judicial district took no action against the judge overseeing the cases. And to make things even more convoluted, this man knows and is involved with the people who sued me on the easement. So the whole thing has been turned into one big twisted knot. That's in a nutshell what's going on.
I'll just jump in there, Kathleen, just to give a comment. So just to put that to clear and together for the listener, I mean, this judge was seriously in a conflict of interest, because as you said, he represented, when he was not yet a judge, he was an attorney. He represented this guy who turns out he was a violent criminal, had spent many years in jail in two different states. And now he is presiding over a case where this felon is harassing you. And I know that you've told me a little bit about the harassment. This is more serious than it's serious harassment. This is not just, you know, waving his arm or something and saying hi. No, it's just like it's serious stuff. So I'll just hand it back to you. Carry on, please.
Well, I guess what has mounted into what seemed to be a very clear stand for me to stand for my own personal rights, it has turned into something that is well beyond my own fight. Because this is not only happening to me, it is happening to other people across New Mexico, across the country, across the world, actually. Because what is happening is this lawlessness that we're seeing in the courts isn't just in my little Fourth Judicial District Court in Las Vegas, New Mexico. And so what we must understand as sovereign men and sovereign women, that we were born sovereign, that we were born to be protected by our own birthrights. We have birthrights, and they come from our own creator. And over the years, we have been lulled into believing that this so-called legal system, this government that has grown and grown in power, somehow has jurisdiction over us. But the wake-up call is that it only has jurisdiction over us because we have given it the jurisdiction. We have sat back and we have said, you're an authority over us, and we accept that. But if we go back and understand that we're born sovereign and that we are the government, we are above the government, then we have a tremendous amount of recapturing of our power, our empowerment that we must do. And that's what this fight has turned into. So as I present my case under constitutional foundation, claiming my jurisdiction of common law, I'm setting in the record documents to share with people, because these are all public record documents, how to fight a case. An unlawful case of someone coming in and trying to steal their access through my property, which is against my birthright. It's against my very right to be protected, to my guaranteed rights of life, liberty, and property, which can't be taken away without due process of law. And this family who is claiming a prescriptive easement on my land are just essentially, to boil it down, bullies who've said, look, we've got the money, we've got the political connections, and we essentially own the judge. We're going to take your property rights away. We want 50 to 100 of our close family members to be able to use this road. And we want all the hunters that we sell hunting permits to be able to have access. Therefore, they're basically claiming that they want to put in a private public road through my private property, and that's a violation of my own rights. So I'm standing up, I'm being very vocal, and I'm claiming my rights that are there, written into the Constitution of the United States of America and the Bill of Rights, that allow me these rights. But I must stand for them and fight for them in this unlawful court.
Ms. Kathleen, we have to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back to you as soon as this break's over. People, hang on. We'll be going back to Ms. Kathleen Dudley. She's being interviewed by Ms. Monica Schaefer tonight, so we'll be right back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The world is watching as the situation along Russia's border with Ukraine heats up. U.S. officials are reporting the State Department has ordered the families of U.S. embassy personnel in Ukraine to begin evacuating the country by Monday. Russian troops along the border with Ukraine are now reported to be increasing. To counter the Russian threat, arms shipments are now pouring into Ukraine. The U.S. Embassy in Ukraine has announced the first shipments of ammunition has already arrived. This was directed by President Biden. U.S. officials say small arms ammunition is the major portion of the shipments, which the State Department is now calling lethal aid. They say the weaponry is needed by the Ukrainian soldiers on the front lines. Javelin anti-tank missiles are expected to arrive sometime next week from the Baltics and the U.S. This is USA Radio News.
Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special. Deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Buy One, Get One Free special on Giza Dream Sheets. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Call 1-800-951-8175 or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special. Use my promo code USA. Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special. Deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Buy One, Get One Free special on Giza Dream Sheets. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Call 1-800-951-8175 or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special. Use my promo code USA.
A winter storm is bringing significant ice and snow to portions of the southeast and mid-Atlantic coast. Residents are not out of the woods as a blast of Arctic air will bring the threat for a rapid freeze-up. Ice and snow hampered travel in cities like Raleigh, North Carolina, where a Delta Airlines flight skidded off the runway at Raleigh-Durham International Airport on Friday night. Meteorologists are saying temperatures are going to drop overnight. At least one person was injured in a four-vehicle crash in Los Angeles Friday, including a vehicle driven by Arnold Schwarzenegger. The actor and former California governor wasn't injured. Details are still emerging on what caused the crash. Authorities say the impact was so severe that the airbags in Schwarzenegger's SUV were released. Police say alcohol and drugs were not involved in the collision. So far, no one has been charged in the incident. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Well, my precious Blood River Radio family, we're right back now. We're going to go right back to Monica. Monica's going to carry. She's going to make comments, ask questions, et cetera, in interaction with Miss Kathleen Dudley. So go ahead, Miss Monica.
Yeah, we were just talking during the break there to get clarification, and I'll ask you for that clarification, Kathleen. You were saying some interesting things about the money-making aspect of this, about easements, but also just to be clear that these neighbors, they have other means or other ways to get to where they want to go. This was just like a convenience. Is that correct?
Yes, they said during the two-day trial that this was a convenience access. They have a deeded easement to their property, and there's a county road which has not been maintained. But that's not my responsibility. But under contract law, under admiralty law, they can pick and choose statutes, laws, rules, presumptions, and they can present their case, which is exactly what bar attorneys do. And they are arguing that they have the right to come through my property because they deem that they have the right. And also, they have been stated by other people as being the Rockefellers of this county. In other words, their pockets are very deep and mine are not. And so they feel that they can bully their way in. This is essentially asset stripping that we're seeing all around the country and across the world.
Indeed. Indeed it is. So, you know, earlier you were saying about every step of the way in the court, they have done things that were really unlawful, that were just bullying tactics and whatnot. It kind of reminds me of when I was going through my trial in Germany, and every single trial day, they proved to us that the criminals are the ones presiding over the court, and that we had truth and right on our side. And so this is another example of that. I mean, like you say, the courts is not just in your region, it's across the country and around the world, that they have become something very, very corrupt. And how they have managed to do this to us is kind of by magic a little bit, like word magic, the deception, the illusion. You touched on that a little bit earlier, and maybe you can carry forward with that. And, you know, how is it that we've just given over these natural rights that we have, or natural law, and it's really by deception, isn't it? I'll hand it back to you.
Yes, it's all fraud and deception, Monica, because what happens, it's spell. It's the spell of the word. So when the judge says to you in court, do you understand? That is a spell, and that is fraud as well. If you agree, which you do not want to agree, when you're representing yourself sui juris as a sovereign man or woman, because that means that you are under his authority, and therefore he puts you into his contract jurisdiction, contract law jurisdiction. So it was very interesting. I knew that when I went before the court, that I must ask the judge and say, now, judge, you have taken the oath of office to support and uphold the Constitution of the United States of America and that of this state. Is that correct? Now, at first, he hedged and hawed. He wasn't going to. He said, well, you can't bring anything constitutional up in here. And, you know, every single judge and attorney must take an oath to support the Constitution. But he knew where I was going. So if they say no, then obviously they must be disqualified or removed from the bench or the position or impeached if they're a witness. So this answer is evidence that the one who answers no will not abide by his oath in the performance of his official duties. And therefore, by his own answer, his oath is meaningless to him. And he's a traitor and a danger to the American people and must be removed from power. And that's true in Canada, any country where there's a constitution. So I said to him, I said, so, sir, you're required to uphold the process, due process of law. However, by not answering, it appears that you have either taken an oath but have no intention of abiding by it, or you have not taken an oath of office as required by the constitutions. So I said, in either event, your answer demonstrates that you will not uphold due process of law and protect my constitutionally secured rights, which are guaranteed to me during these procedures. So, sir, therefore, you are disqualified. Step down. Now, that one just about blew me off my seat as much as it almost blew him off his seat, because here I am my first few minutes in my first trial representing myself sui juris. So it was really quite an astonishing moment. And then I repeated it and I said, did you take the oath to support? And I went through that. And he said, yes. And I said, well, then I said, I want this on record. And I said, and then I presented that I appear before this honorable court by special appearance as a living, breathing, natural born woman, an American citizen and a Canadian, on the land with and claiming all rights guaranteed to me in the federal and state constitutions, and with my name properly spelled only in upper and lower case letters. And that gets into something else. And then I waited a few minutes and I said, is there any objection to what I just stated? And neither did the plaintiff's attorney nor the judge have any objections. But what that was I was therefore putting this trial into common law jurisdiction. constitutional a foundation, and that was critical. And we must always do that when we are in court as sui juris representing our sovereign rights. So that was a mouthful.
This is just so fantastic, Kathleen. I have a great big smile on my face as you're telling the story about what you said to the judge in the first few minutes of that proceeding. Fantastic. I know earlier you were saying that you're putting this out there to the public because you want to people to know. Obviously, that's part of, you know, what you're about. You want to share this information. Where can people find this? Can you give them maybe your website or where they can find this information that you are so, you know, through hard work getting?
They can email me directly at Seaside, as in ocean, so SEASIDE, reflexology, at protonmail.com. Now, I've been in the Santa Fe, New Mexican newspaper on the 15th of January, and I also have a recording of an interview exposing what has gone on with the conflict of interest of this particular judge and the nepotism that exists. So they can contact me and I can send them links. And my website is being built as we speak, but this is delaying it in terms of all these court documents that I must write and the representation.
Indeed, that's right. I know you've been up many hours and many days working on this. It's a lot of work, but my goodness, a steep learning curve for you, isn't it? So, okay, so let's, this legal system and maritime versus common law, this is such an important thing that people need to know. And I just find it fantastic that you were able to basically go into their court and turn it into, a common law court instead of being in the usual maritime. I mean, just some of the words they use, they're in the dock or you're in the dock. It's all maritime. I have learned a little bit about that, although I'm probably just a real beginner at it. All the language that is used to denote this, the maritime law aspect of it. I think most people have no idea about that part of it. Maybe you can expand a little bit about that, Kathleen.
Well, thank you, Monica. Basically, this is theater. The so-called legal system, which I put in quotation marks, was devised along with bar attorneys. And it was devised with the whole concept that they were going to create a master-slave relationship of policies and statutes and orders, and they would rule and dominate us through that, and they would charge us at the same time. They would steal our money. They would put upon us taxes and insurance costs. But each time we
have to go to a break. Ms. Kathleen, I see you heard the music. We'll be right back, people. We want to waste any more precious time with this great interview. Be right back.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote.
Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Our dear people, my Lord, this is an educational series. We're going to go right back to Miss Kathleen, and she's going to tell us, define what a bar attorney is. I know you think you know who it is, but you probably really don't, because I didn't know. And it leads into just a morass. It leads into a pit, to the devil's pit. So if you will, Miss Kathleen, please tell the people what you told us, me and Miss Monica, during the break about the bar attorney and the allegiance to the king, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead, Miss Kathleen.
Yes, thank you, Eddie. It's quite astonishing. BAR is an acronym for British Accreditation Registry. And as Monica brought up, how important words are. And they are spellbinding, and they create these spells. So Regis comes from registry, which is king, and it's to the king. So we're talking about the relationship of our bar attorneys, British Accreditation Registry, to Britain. They are not licensed with anyone other than their own association. So we always think that they have some big power over us, but they're a private organization. They're a corporation. And they are, they pay one another, they pay the courts, they pay the judges, and the courts often pay the bar attorney over and above what you have paid them through your hard-earned money.
Wow, I had no idea. I really didn't.
Yeah, this is astonishing, actually, just this private organization. Actually, it blows my mind that this is the case in the United States. I knew that in Canada, every lawyer upon accreditation, they swear allegiance to the crown, because, you know, we're a commonwealth, like we still have the queen representing us. And but I didn't know that was the case in the States, that these attorneys are somehow associated with the British. Like, I had no idea. This is totally new to me. But this thing about private organization, I mean, I found that out in Germany, too, that every single court there is a private entity, and they're not even tied to each other somehow. They're each independent private corporations and working in this country called, it's actually a corporation, not even a nation. And now I'm kind of learning that that's the case all over the place. Like, you know, Canada is some kind of a corporate entity. And I guess the United States now learning all kinds of things that are happening there. Although the United States still has this constitution, which gives a little bit of hope. But I want to pass it back to you, Kathleen, and, you know, just go wherever you want to go with this now, with the last few minutes of this interview, because this is just absolutely spellbinding. It's very, very important stuff. So back over to you, Kathleen.
Well, thank you, Monica. It's you know, it has been a huge learning curve. And but I want to go back to the spellbinding, as you say. Attorney, when you look at the actual definition, is to turn. And if you look at tort or tort law, it's to twist. And when you actually take a look at what these bar attorneys do, is they turn and they twist and they create conflict, and it has nothing to do with justice. Now, common law is very simple. It's God's law. It's natural law, and it's about bringing about resolution and peacefulness and justice. And that's exactly the opposite of what the new legal system over the last couple hundred years has brought about. And we have been inculcated into learning their system of legal statutes. Now, if you take a look at the Constitution, it's a very thin book. But if you were to look at a building that housed all the state statutes or the federal statutes just of this country, it's floors and floors and floors. So we have to realize we have tremendous power, and we have to, with some education, understand that in our sovereignty, with our birthrights, we can stand up against this criminal cabal before us. And the other thing is, as I've realized, if we don't, we become their slaves. And that's one thing, and knowing you, Monica, we don't stand down, we step up. And so here we are, empowering ourselves, educating ourselves, and sharing what we know.
Absolutely, absolutely. So earlier you said about the government, that we are the government, we are over the government, and that is absolutely true. Like, what people have to remember is that anybody who is in government, officially, I mean, or any which way you look at it, they are supposed to be working for us. They are our employees, and we need to remind them of that every step of the way when they try to, you know, put all kinds of rules over us and making us think that we have to abide by their rules, making us think that these are laws, when in fact, you know, just relating to our current situation with the scamdemic, none of these things are lawful, these mandates. They're just requests, really. And if the people would understand their power, our power, like what you're talking about, Kathleen, then this would have ended 2 years ago, one day after it started, because we wouldn't have participated in it. But it really is through their spell that they have woven. So we do have this power, and this is just so fantastic what you are doing to bring light to that very fact. So yeah, back over to you, Kathleen. We still have a few more minutes, and I'm sure that you could tell us more. Like this judge, for instance, I mean, I think you can name him and shame him. I know you have in these other interviews, and I think that you have actually had some success. Hasn't he been called out now, or has he been pulled down? Has this been exposed to this specific judge?
Monica, I'd like to ask one question, if I may. We have a caller that said, and this is going to be a question and a comment. Miss Kathleen, I would like to comment you, give you a commendation right off the bat, because me and Miss Monica and everybody on Blood River Radio, we're always talking about solutions, solutions, solutions. Well, you, young lady, you are a walking, breathing solution. You're a hero. I salute you. I have unending respect for you. You're doing what most people would never dream of doing. And we talk about solutions on here on Blood River Radio. I think what you said bears out that what we say on Blood River Radio, we have to start with the county saying to hell with the federal government. We have to have a county constitutional sheriff, constitutional justice of peace, constitutional jury, et cetera. Now, let me ask you this question. I'm going to shut up because we're running out of time. The bar, the British accredited registry. So in other words, Miss Kathleen, am I right? This organization is really like the caller, like the listener attuned into me, and he said it's a Talmudic organization, a Jewish organization. Are they just an independent? I never knew this. It sounds like they're just an independent criminal cabal that has, they're not connected to real law, common law. They're not connected to the Constitution in any way whatsoever, but somehow they've put a spell over us thinking that they are legal, connected to the Constitution. But in other words, what I'm trying to say is, what the question I'm trying to ask you, are they just really not a part of the government at all, not a part of the Constitution? They're just this criminal cabal that's captured us. I'm going to shut up. I hope it didn't take up too much time. Go ahead, Ms. Kathleen.
Well, I'm going to respond with a question to you. Is the Federal Reserve a government agency, or is a privately run system of fiat currency inflation intended to collapse the monetary system of the United States of America?
It's totally, you're right, it's totally the Federal Reserve is a group of private Jewish bankers, and you're absolutely right. That system, that is a system of fiat currency, and answer your question, there's never been a case in history where the fiat currency did not end in being totally worthless. And so, yes, ma'am, you're right. It's what it intended to do. And in the end, the people that own that Federal Reserve, on the International Bank of Settlements, the World Banking System, they intend to have all the wealth in the world. And that's the New World Order we're speaking about. They're going to bring it into a monetary system. Yes, you're absolutely right, Ms. Kathleen. And I don't want to take up too much of your time, too much of Ms. Monica's time, but go ahead.
So in other words, yes, the Bar Association is a private organization, just like the Federal Reserve, giving, just like the Post Office, the United States Post Office, a private corporation, giving the impression that it is connected to the government, all lies. And the judge in the 4th Judicial District in Las Vegas, New Mexico, his name is Michael Aragon. His sister, Abigail Aragon, sits in that same judicial district. And the nepotism is wild. There have been articles on them showing conflict of interest, and we're working to get them out. And the court system is as crooked as a willow stick. And basically, I'm being told to look over my shoulder as I expose this criminal cabal, because this is a hot potato.
Excellent question. And has your life been threatened? And after you answer that, am I going back to Miss Monica?
Well, my life was threatened by the man who is responsible for suing me on the easement. A number of years ago, he came down onto my property and said, "I'm going to shoot you in the head with a gun." So my life hasn't directly been threatened since I've exposed this situation, other than the harassment by the man I'm trying to get a civil restraining order against. But they're all connected, and they're politically connected with the judges. They're politically connected with all the movers and shakers in the communities and throughout my county and the tri-county region where this court system oversees. So it is one of, real time, unfolding, and I couldn't create better dialogue if I tried with some of what I have heard from some of these people.
Go ahead, Monica.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, I just want to add this comment. I think that speaking publicly as you are right now is really the best thing you can do, is speaking publicly about this case, because it does give you some, I think, protection. It might be counterintuitive, but you see, then it will be just a little too obvious if somebody tries to do something to you. And so I pray that I am correct in my assessment, obviously. I hope I'm right on that. But thank you so much, Kathleen, for coming on. And I hear the music. Thank you, Eddie, for letting us do this.
Well, thank you, Ms. Kathleen. Thank you, Monica. And you two precious ladies put another show together. We may have an opening for the 29th. I'll have to check into that. But in case I missed it, telling people, Ms. Monica is going to be interviewing Mr. Tom Goodrich and Paul English. Tom Goodrich, the author of Hellstorm. Tom English. Paul English, coming in from England. He is the voiceover for the audio version of Hellstorm. Miss Monica will be running that interview the 12th. And Miss Monica, you and Kathleen, go ahead and put and put together another show. We're bringing you on as soon as possible. So thank you, Miss Monica. Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Cameron. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, precious Blood River Radio audience. Good night. We'll